Today, we're welcoming back our good friend Gary Dereshinsky as he talks about Messiah in the Psalms, right here on Messianic Perspectives. This is Messianic Perspectives, the daily Bible teaching program sponsored by CJF Ministries in San Antonio, Texas. You can visit us online at cjfm.org. This is Liz Aiello. Today, Gary Dereshinsky is leading our study of Messiah in the Psalms. In this brand new series, Gary guides us through an overview of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, Israel's ultimate deliverer, provider, shepherd and king, savior and Lord. I'll be back a little later with information about a special offer, so have your pencil and paper ready. Now with today's study, here's Gary.
Shalom everyone. Today I would like to begin a series on the study of Messianic prophecy. That is to say, a study of what the Hebrew prophets have taught concerning the coming of the Messiah. To begin with, we want to remind ourselves that the word Messiah, Mashiach in Hebrew, means anointed one. In Israel's history, there were three offices into which all who entered by means of an anointing. That anointing may have been performed with water or oil. These three offices were those of the prophets, priests, and kings. Interestingly, the Messiah, that is to say, the one who would be Israel's ultimate deliverer and provider, shepherd and king, Savior and Lord, would embody all three offices in his person and thus become Israel's prophet, priest, and king par excellence. So when I speak of the Messiah, I'm referring to that one who would fulfill all the promises made to Israel regarding her redemption, atonement, and rule. That one would be Israel's ultimate prophet or spokesperson for God, ultimate priest or mediator between God and Israel, ultimate king or descendant of David who would sit and reign over Israel from David's throne. With this in mind, I would like to embark on a series that focuses attention on what is taught to us concerning Messiah in the book of Psalms. When we think of the book of Psalms, we generally think of it as a book of prayers or emotional expressions of one's relationship with God or aspirations of God. To be sure, the Psalms are filled with songs of praise and thanksgiving, reflections of joy and worship, as well as expressions of sorrow and need. But what is often overlooked is that the book of Psalms is also filled with prophetic utterances of the coming Messiah. In fact, according to one Old Testament scholar, the book of Psalms contains the greatest block of predictive matter concerning the Savior to be found anywhere in the Old Testament. Indeed, some have counted as many as 101 verses directly related to the promise of Messiah's coming, occurring in as many as 13 different Psalms. There have been differences of opinion on this, of course, but it's fair to say that the book of Psalms do record many important statements about Messiah's coming. We will not be able to cover all that is said, but I would like to take a look at six Psalms. Most of the Messianic Psalms belong to the Davidic period. Among those which are definitely attributed to David are Psalm 2 and 16, Psalm 22 and 40, Psalm 68 and 69, Psalm 109 and 110. Along with these Messianic Psalms, Psalm 72 is attributed to Solomon, while Psalm 45 is attributed to one of the sons of Korah, and Psalm 118 is not attributed to anyone at all. Of course, ultimately, it matters little to whom a psalm is attributed or that a psalm is attributed to no one. The important point to remember is that all Scripture is written by inspiration or under the sovereign control of God Himself. The first psalm I would like to explore with you is Psalm 2. I've chosen to begin here because it is often asked, while it is true that throughout the New Testament Jesus is presented to us as God's Son, where in the Hebrew Scriptures is it ever said that God has a Son? Psalm 2 answers that question. In the interest of time, I'm not going to read through the entire psalm, but rather will simply make reference to its major points and provide further insight to its more critical statements. To begin with, the second psalm is one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament. It is alluded to in the accounts of Jesus' baptism recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Acts chapter 4, it is referenced as an explanation for the death of Messiah by the rulers of Jesus' day. It is also interesting to note that while the psalm itself is not attributed to David in the book of Psalms, the disciples, as recorded in the book of Acts, do say that the psalm was written by David. Paul also understood the psalm as referring to Jesus in Acts chapter 13, and it is similarly applied to Christ in the book of Hebrews and the book of Revelation. In all, it is referred to 7 times in the New Testament, and all are applied to Jesus. The theme of the psalm revolves around verse 6, which states, "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill." Thus, the significance of the psalm lies in the hope that it speaks about, namely the anointed king rules by God's decree and appointment. The psalm opens with the writer being shown all the nations of the earth gathering themselves together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Psalm 2 then specifically speaks of 2 persons, God and his anointed one. Thus the God of Israel and his Messiah are both targeted as the objects of rebellion and rejection. This is indeed how Peter viewed the opposition Jesus found during the time of his ministry to Israel when he said, "Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, who you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen." This past antagonism is but a foretaste of the enormous opposition the Lord and his Messiah will confront at the end of time. That moment will be when God himself will dramatically and forever put down all rebellion and confrontation by their enemies and will establish his anointed one as king. So this psalm looks to the future, when the Messiah will reign and all opposition to him will end. The reason all opposition to God and his Messiah are so foolish is because the decrees of the Lord have already been announced. Verse 7 states, "I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.'" God's decree is unalterable. As Psalm 24 states, "Since the earth belongs to the Lord, in all its fullness, he will bring history to a close as he intends. And it will end when all opposition is put down and his son is raised up as king." The phrase, "Today I have become your father," means that the Son will be installed or crowned as King by the Father as sovereign on his throne. On a particular day, a day concerning which Jesus said no man knows the day or hour, but a day nonetheless, God will reveal his anointed one to be his heir by placing him on the throne of David, and he will rule over Israel and the kingdoms of the earth forever. The idea of becoming in verse 7 means the point when the Messiah is officially installed into a new sphere of service. Here, that sphere of service is that of Israel's king. Being a son also means being an heir. And according to Psalm 2, the son will inherit the nations of the earth and will rule over the ends of the earth. Concerning this psalm, the famed 11th century rabbi, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, better known by the acronym Rashi, admitted, "Our rabbis expounded it," that is Psalm 2, "as relating to King Messiah. Today, most rabbis would refer it to David himself, but the psalm will not allow for such an interpretation. It simply cannot refer to David because David was never given dominion nor authority over the entire world, and neither are any ever encouraged to worship him. Yet that is what God's anointed one is given and privileged to receive. According to verse 12, the reader is advised to kiss the Son, or worship him and submit to him." As the psalmist concludes his psalm, he advises the following: "Be wise." That is to say, do not act foolishly and oppose the Lord and his anointed one. He secondly says, "Be forewarned." The Son will be installed as king, and any opposition will be put down. Thirdly, he says, "Serve the Lord." That is to say, reverence the Lord, stand in awe of him, and serve him rather than self. And fourthly, the psalmist advises, "Find joy in the Lord. rejoice in who He is and what He has done, and thus do homage to the Son while there is still time. The psalmist then ends his psalm with the promise, "Blessed are all who take refuge in Him." Have you taken refuge in the Lord and His Messiah? If not, why not do it today? Thank you for tuning into Messianic Perspectives, and join me tomorrow as we continue with our study of the Messiah in the Psalms.
Thank you, Gary, and thank you, listening friends, for joining us today. It's always good to have you with us here on Messianic Perspectives. We hope you're enjoying this new series from Pastor Darashinsky. If you'd like your own copy, or perhaps a copy for a friend, you'll be glad to know that the entire series is available on CD for the suggested gift of just $6 or more. Just look for Messiah in the Psalms at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. You'll be glad to know that our daily programs are available as downloadable podcasts. We're listed in the iTunes Music Store. Just access the Music Store through the link on our homepage at cjfm.org or by searching for Messianic Perspectives at the iTunes Music Store. You'll find the subscription information there. Would you rather listen on your computer? Our broadcasts are also available as webcasts. Just click on the media link on our homepage at cjfm.org. Once again, our web address is simply cjfm.org. By the way, listening friend, has it been a while since we've heard from you? It's very important that if you're listening, please let us know you're out there. You know, almost every time we drop a station from our network, we receive letters from people who say, "Why did you drop our station?" But then we check our files and find out they never bothered to write while we were on their station. So don't wait until it's too late. If you enjoy the program, let us know. You see, we don't want to drop a station if people are listening and we're having a ministry in their lives. But if no one is listening, we can take those funds and go on a station somewhere else. The only way we have of knowing whether or not you're listening is if you tell us. So we'll look forward to hearing from you. Just drop us a line at Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. Or email us at info@cjfm.org. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you? As our friend Gary Darashinsky continues our series of studies on Messiah in the Psalms, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.